Welcome to the monthly meeting of the U.S. Union in Madison. Pleased to welcome Eric Snyder as our speaker today. Eric is one of three co-founders of the Sunday Assembly Madison, so he's been active in that, especially in the musical end of things. He also attended Chicago Theological Seminary for a year.
1 year.
And had the idea of becoming a hospital chaplain, but followed a different path. But welcome, Eric, and thank you for putting on this program.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I'm here because I was associated with Bob. Bob's in the Sunday Assembly, too. And we're on the same email list. Mm-hmm. I sent out an email, an impassioned paragraph that our book club should read the book that this guy wrote, which at that time was not published. It's mm-hmm. since been published. Just 1,000 lashes because I say what I think, by Raif Badawi. And it's short. It's about 80 pages, 15 or so small posts from this blogger's work. And here I am. I'm not a practiced presenter. I don't have an hour's worth of material. And in preparing this presentation, I decided not to go down the path of bashing Saudi Arabia, because there's no end to it. Saudi Arabia. Raif Badawi is a Saudi blogger who made secular statements and offended the religious authorities, for which he was sentenced to lashings and imprisonment and a fine. His story is relevant because and available to us because it has become so widely known. There are many, many more people in Saudi Arabia who suffer similar atrocities. It's a cesspool of human rights violations. And let's get into the presentation. Here's my first screen, just to explain basically who
this.
Can
we turn off the overhead so we can see it better?
Can we do that?
Much better.
This slide is to explain who the person is, humanize him a bit. He's definitely Saudi. There he was, born in 1984 in Khobar. And he's a very slim guy, he's very slight build. He's a diabetic with hypertension, and that becomes relevant later on. This is his wife, Ensaf Haidar. They got married in 1982. He is 31 today. In 02, he was an 18-year-old kid. And it's one of these teenage love stories where the boy sees the girl in the window of his parents' house and falls in love, and they meet secretly. Her parents objected. It was a love match. They didn't want an arranged marriage, especially because she was so young. So if he was 18 in 02, I could not find her birthday. But she was a middle teenager, maybe 16 or so. They have three kids, two daughters and a son. There's a little boy right in the middle. He looks tiny. One of these girls is younger than him, but a very sweet family group. And here he is working at his laptop, being a blogger. Now, in 2009, he founded a website, and I couldn't find out what what the guy does professionally, what his work was. There's not a lot of information, and there may be a reason for that. But his website was called Free Saudi Liberals. And he called for the discussion of different versions of Islam besides Wahhabism, but also a lot more. Here's these quotes are taken from his book. I wanted to break the walls of ignorance, to shatter the sacredness of religious clerics, which is a very, very direct challenge to a totalitarian fundamentalist theocracy with religious police that watches and listens and punishes.
Including people not of the culture.
Including them, yes. Including people who are not Wahhabi.
Which the royal family is not.
Pardon me?
The royal family is not Wahhabi.
Oh,
really? They certainly spread it out to the rest of the world. So, what did this guy say to make himself so offensive in Saudi Arabia? Well, he advocated free speech and tolerance. Freedom of speech is the air that any thinker breathes. As a human being, you have the right to express yourself. Liberalism means simply to live and let live. Now, in his context, in his cultural context, when he says liberalism, that's not the same thing as political liberalism that we understand in America. He's referring to small l liberal democracy, the sort of relationship between the individual and the state that we know in advanced economies, in Western economies, the US, Canada, and Europe. A liberal country has no religion, which does not mean that it's godless. It means that it protects the rights of all the religions and nurtures all of them without distinction of upholding one over the other. And to respect the opinions of people, of those who stand against you, is nothing but courageous. So,
does the nation claim to be a liberal country?
Saudi Arabia? No. No.
So this is within groups of people who blog?
Well, he's making these statements. The Saudi religious authorities are watching, reading, and enforcing ideological purity in the population. What he's saying is not what they believe. Right? A religion-based state has a mission to limit the minds of its people, fight the development logic of history, and to dumb down its citizens. Pretty offensive to the clerics. We need to start working right now on rewriting our history our own way, away from the control of the theists in our lives. So here he's saying pretty directly that he's a secular person. I have not found anywhere in this book where he advocated atheism or described himself as an atheist or agnostic. But he refers to theists very often as the other. And there are many people in Saudi Arabia who think similarly, but they just didn't stand up the way this guy did and said it. So could you flip, please? So here's a bloody picture. I apologize. I decided not to go into the other horror scenes that could have come out of Saudi Arabia, but for this particular story, it's essential. In 2009, he founded his website, and he blogged for 3 years. Then he was arrested accused of insulting Islam through electronic channels. So the previous quotes that I just read were used as evidence that he had insulted Islam. And I didn't read anything there to that referenced insult to Islam, but it flies in the face of the religious authorities. So the next year, he was tried, convicted, and sentenced to 600 lashes, 7 years of imprisonment. And his wife and children fled to Canada and received political asylum in Quebec, where they're still based.
So he's not with his family now?
No, he's in prison. Last year, the sentence was revised because the prosecutors said that it was too lenient and they needed a new sentence. So he was retried or resentenced and given 10 years of imprisonment, fined $1 million, Saudi money, which equates to about $250,000 US dollars, 250 grand. And his sentence of lashing was increased from 600 to 1,000 to be delivered 50 lashes per week for 20 weeks, so 5 months worth of lashing every Friday afternoon after prayers.
50 lashes each time?
50 lashes each time.
Do you know what they used? Was it a cane?
I've seen video of this. It looks like a bent rod. It looks like a jointed rod with three joints. And it's definitely not a bullwhip with a guy swishing a thing up in the air and cracking. Nothing like that. It's like a bent rod. It's not a caning because there's acceleration of the tip as it flies forward.
The whole thing gets
funny. Yeah. Yeah. Especially the end. And in January of this year, on the 15th, he was lashed 50 times. And there's the result. That's only the lashing that was visible on his back. There was also strokes on the buttocks and the legs. Immediately, a worldwide outcry followed this crime. I could not find a description of why this fellow's offense became a world, or his punishment became a worldwide issue. Probably because journalism is involved. He was blogging, he was making, you know, journalistic commentary on Saudi society. There were people internationally who were aware of what he was saying, and as soon as he was punished, the worldwide media was informed, probably with the great help of Amnesty International. Mm-hmm. Now, subsequent lashings have been postponed every week. The excuse is because of his poor health. Well, I'd be in poor health too, mm-hmm, if I was treated that way. But on June 17th, just a couple of months ago, the Saudi Supreme Court upheld his sentence and ruled that he is now considered to be healthy enough for more flogging.
Yeah, June 7th, you said 17th.
Did I?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm sorry. June 7th. Mm-hmm. Now considered to be to be healthy enough for more flogging. So it could start up again. Atheism in Saudi Arabia, by the way, is a capital offense, so I'd certainly be dead or being beaten. But atheism in Saudi Arabia is not only denying the existence of God, but also speaking out contrary to Wahhabism. So even Muslims who make anti-Wahhabi statements would be considered atheist because they're denying what the state says is the one true form of the one true religion. Lawrence Krauss, a theoretical physicist, cosmologist, wrote the introduction to the book. Krauss points out that there is a reason that we do not hear much about what goes on in Saudi Arabia. The power of propaganda in our society is such that the Saudi regime is portrayed as friendly, benign, an ally in the violent and dangerous world of the Middle East. So you'll read about ISIS and Iran and Al-Qaeda, but rarely about this medievalism, because they have such a position in the oil market and the global economy, especially the Western world, is very dependent upon it. It gives them a great deal of leverage, and a lot of their news is suppressed. We just don't hear about it.
How did you get the book out?
The book is not his original writing. The book is a collection of the blogs that he wrote and posted. Mm-hmm. And his wife, probably with some professional help, selected a group of these postings that were most typical, most characteristic, and probably the best quality of his work. He does have a preface that he wrote himself, just a couple of pages. We're not told how it got out of prison, but he knows that the book has been written, and he has been able to make some small contribution to it. Page, dear. So why is he still alive? Is public outrage and support. Amnesty International has done a great job of presenting his plight. Here's a line of people at a protest who bared their backs and received magic marker to publicize what has happened to him. There's an international campaign to free him, consisting of street protests, petitions, letters, social media activities, and this has only been growing. Here, we have a picture taken at a Bono concert with a picture of him and his kids, we saw earlier, projected up onto the Jumbotron. And,
so there's
a
people down below.
Yeah. Oh yeah, there's the band, and the stadium is just filled with folks. So at least Bono has been publicizing his situation, and other famous people. You know, folks do spontaneous protests. This is a Charlie Hebdo knockoff. Human Rights Watch is also involved, and there have been numerous op-ed, magazine, radio, and television spots, celebrity statements in support, and he has been awarded numerous journalism awards in absentia. There was a list of about 20 of these awards. I didn't have room to put them up. But he's not being ignored. Could we have a new screen, please? So, what can we do? Now, I have a flyer to hand out. Please, please pass it along and take a flyer, because there are just too many websites and Twitter accounts to list here. His wife founded RaifBadawi.org, and the Raif Badawi Foundation for Freedom. And on the website, they advise people to do the following things. To tweet to Saudi Arabia, and you'll find some official addresses there. Try to get the U.S. government involved to pressure Saudi Arabia. The address is to the U.S. consulate in Riyadh. Contact the Saudi Arabia embassy yourself. Demonstrate outside their embassy or when dignitaries come near. And you can go to Amnesty International to find out when that occurs. There is an Amnesty International group in Madison. I think it's local group 139 that you can find on Facebook. And tweet your support to him and his family. He has an account. I don't know if he ever gets to look at it, but it's monitored. And his wife has an account, and she's active on there. I sent a notification to his wife that I was going to be doing this to you folks, and included your Twitter handle in the message, so it ought to appear on your stream.
Is he incarcerated at the time?
Yep.
He's going to stay incarcerated until all the lashes are done?
And all the years are expended.
Until he's paid the,
and all the money is paid.
Yeah. Well, how is he paid the money?
As far as we know. I don't know.
I imagine books are on that.
I don't know. But
government,
I think
the
right. The greater fear, of course, is that the second set of lashings will kill him. That's his wife's great fear. He's a diabetic, he's a hypertensive, he's in this extremely stressful environment, never knowing whether he's going to get a reprieve this week. So it's not helping. Sign a petition. On the website there is an active maintained list of petitions that you can sign, and these will be presented to the appropriate authorities when they're when the people organizing them are ready. If you know anybody who has more access to the media than us, someone who's influential, you can contact them. Sign up at movements.org. That is a resource to find out when activities are going on near you, or organize something. And then there's this poster. This is a graphic file that you can download from the site, print out, and put around town. Whenever something's going on, whenever the Saudi officials are nearby, whenever he's in the media at all, just place it in public places. And then there are donations to the Foundation for Freedom.
What about that little book? Where can one buy that?
Uh-huh. Next slide.
Oh, it's here on the back.
Oh, here we
go. So, this is the book. I got mine from Amazon. It's available at online booksellers. You can also get it at RaifBadawi.org. Now, all of the proceeds from the sale of the book go to support his family. don't let the book die with you. When you're done with it, pass it along. And it's suggested that you could mail it to legislators or influential folks in government just to help publicize this. And I have a last statement from Krauss. It says, no subject should be above ridicule. Nothing should be so sacred as to be protected from humor for fear that humor might induce reflection, and reflection might induce questioning, and questioning might induce free thinking. So the question naturally arises, why this guy? Is it going to change Saudi Arabia by becoming active in publicizing his plight, supporting his situation? It just might. They're very sensitive. This is probably the only reason that the man is still alive. Is he more important than anyone else in their country in that situation? No, not at all. But he happens to have been chosen. He is one whose plight is known. On Bill Maher's show on HBO on Friday evening, what's it called? Real Time. Real Time. 2 weeks ago, Maher, in his closing statement, mentioned another guy in a similar situation named Ali Muhammad al-Raif, who was a 17-year-old kid. He's 21 now. When he was just a 17-year-old kid, he went to a couple of protest rallies, attendant to the Arab Spring. Why he got picked up, I don't know. Whether his activities were high profile in these protests, I don't know. But at age 17, he was arrested, accused, tried, and has now exhausted all of his appeals and can at any time be that his sentence can be carried out. His sentence was beheading and crucifixion. So what they do is to behead the criminal and then crucify the body with the head at the foot of the cross and leave the body on public display for 3 days in order to terrorize anyone who comes by.
Very medieval.
Very medieval. Extremely medieval. So, what can we do? Just participate in social media and spread the word as you can. You know, if you're working, put the flyer that you took at the coffee table at the kitchen portal. Tack it up on a poster board somewhere at work or somewhere in the community. And
is Amnesty International pressing his cause particularly?
Yes.
Well,
it's one of the things. They're not dedicated to him exclusively. They do things globally, but in Saudi Arabia, his case is one that they are highlighting and highlighting continually.
So you get them on the internet too?
Yep. And that's about all I have.
He has a very brave face.
Well.
Have you heard anything in the news about public officials taking a stand on this case in this country?
No, I can't recall, but I have not been involved for a period of years. I'm just recently aware of this guy and his situation. And you know, coming to Madison and getting involved in Sunday assembly and not having a professional life with a family to draw my attention has kind of encouraged me to get up, to speak out and say some things. It's worthwhile.
The boy, the 17-year-old boy, how old is he now?
21.
And his crime was to go to that rally?
Yes.
Wow.
He attended rallies.
Thousands of other people.
I've looked. I couldn't find anything about him fighting with police or being involved with a bombing or throwing rocks or anything like that. He just attended the rally. Maybe his face happened to be broadcast. Maybe there was footage of him speaking out at the rally, interviewed as someone in the crowd. Don't know. Has that news also been suppressed? Don't know. That's the problem with censorship. But I do know his sentence, and that at any moment it could be inflicted.
And this example you gave about this beheading and crucifying, another person, they did that too? You know, you said that the sentence would be beheading.
Well, this is something that they've done in the past.
Oh, okay, but you're not talking about a specific...
That's not this guy. No,
no, but
specifically,
I mean,
the fellow was... is named Ali Al-Nimr. That's the 17-year-old.
They did that to him?
They could do it.
Oh, they could.
To him at any moment.
Okay.
His final appeal has just been...
His final appeal is exhausted.
I had a friend who was living in Saudi Arabia for a while with her husband. And so she was telling us some of the things that they had to do, you know, because as Westerners, you are not immune from their laws. So she said you had to be careful not to kiss your husband at the door as he's leaving. That's absolutely forbidden. Of course, she couldn't drive. Whenever she went out, she had to be in the full, you know, when they went.
Had a headscarf?
No. The full...
Beekeeper's uniform.
Yeah, the full thing where you can't see the face.
The black beekeeper's suit.
The burqa. The burqa. Yeah, and then she said when they were traveling to Europe, she had to wear the burqa onto the plane, and then when they get out of Saudi airspace, then they could take it off.
Wow.
She said if you're... caught on stealing, no matter what it is, your hands cut off.
There's a place in Saudi Arabia nicknamed Chop Chop Square, which
exactly.
Is where these amputations and beheadings are often taken, often take place. I was watching a recently filmed episode of The Young Turks. The Young Turks does anyone know, familiar with that, The Young Turks? It is a journalistic program filmed, I believe, in the U.S. by Muslim commentators, probably also secular people, who constantly discuss things like this. And the fellow was and I don't remember his name, I'm sorry, but he was expressing his outrage at the Saudis because recently there has been a rash of, he said the words, mass beheadings. I don't know what that means, whether it was 20 or dozens or more, but that has not made its way to the U.S. major media at all.
But it's, a recent event. Of people who are citizens there?
Any other what?
Any underground actions?
Well, that's what this guy was.
Well, that's what this guy was doing. Yeah. You read that people have their own private opinions. They express their express themselves in the home. Sometimes they have parties where free thinking is discussed. Yeah, a dry party.
Right, yeah.
Alcohol. Yeah. What kind of a party is that?
And organized underground
with people? Not on a large scale, not that I've heard of, no.
Now, this gal said also that foreigners, or I suspect wealthy Saudis, always send their young people to Europe for
education
because teenagers being what they are, you know, they were worried about having them in the country for fear of what they might say here.
Or do.
It's an imprisoned nation.
Right, so that teenagers may come home on the holidays. Other than that, they make sure that they're.
But I've also seen, I watched German television, and I've read in some of the respectable magazines, a lot of wealthy Saudis have owned apartments and houses in Europe, and that's then they do everything that the hated Westerners do, right?
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely.
And then a couple of years ago, there was a big book, I didn't buy it because it was expensive, by Paul Krugman, who is a very excellent American journalist, on the close interrelationship between the Bush family and the Saudi.
House of Bush, House of Saud?
Yes, something like that, yeah.
They're personal friends.
Yeah.
Well, Bondar Bush.
Bush.
I think it goes back to the Walker family.
The Scott Walker family?
Well, Herbert Walker Bush. The first president got his middle name from a grandfather named Walker, and somehow these folks were involved. I wish I'd read the book now. I haven't. Were involved in the development of oil resources in Saudi Arabia.
So they have a whole different take on Saudi Arabia.
Well, they're very close.
I mean, the political side of things they are not concerned about.
Well, they don't. I mean, when you're rich enough, you don't give a damn about politics.
They don't.
You just do it, and you can go to Europe and give all your children to Europe to be educated. You have a Westerner living in Saudi Arabia. Do the rules while you're there. But
I mean, the hypocrisy is mind blowing.
Yes,
that's
my presentation.
Yeah. Well, good.
Thank you.
Well,
thank you for listening. Thank you for asking questions, giving me this time, and consider contacting the people highlighted in the pamphlet
and
pass it on.
I've been donating to Amnesty International for years.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to watch now that if his name shows up again.
But what's chilling about this was his statement about the dumbing down people so they could be controlled. And
well,
oh, sure.
And you, look at what the Christian mind is wanting to do with our schools.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just like, it can't happen here, and the Handmaid's Tale are all coming to fruition here.
Well,
oh, yeah.
And this is where it leads.
The religious, what is it, RFRA, Religious Rights Restoration Act,
Religious Freedom Act.
Is the permission to discriminate act.
Yeah.
Permission to engage in bigotry act.
But,
thank you very much, Eric.